The summer of 1977, I was actively involved with Charlie Ware and some other Baptist Bible students up there from the Holy Hill, and we were coming down to Scranton and giving the gospel. We were baptizing the converts and planning and building up the Scranton Revival Baptist Church, spring of 1971, right through 77 for me. And I was led of God. I won't go into detail, but I was definitely led of God. No question about it. It was a call of God to go to Florida in the summer of 1977. And while I was there, I was only there about a year. And I taught Christian school class in Summit Baptist Christian School, fourth grade. I had about 27 students. I served as a youth pastor for that year in the Calvary Baptist Church there in South Florida. And while I was there, I lived rent-free. My wife and I and two of our kids, we lived rent-free in an apartment complex that my father-in-law had purchased and that I managed for him while I was down there in Florida. Then my father-in-law offered me a position of vice president of sales in his company. It was, today's dollars, a multi-million dollar company that he founded called South Florida Aluminum. That company's still going on in Florida. But I want to say something tonight. Like Nehemiah in the Bible, and I'm going to look at Nehemiah 6 tonight. Like Nehemiah, I had a concern for and a burden for this Scranton Revival Baptist Church that we helped to plant in 1971 in Scranton. And when the pastor wrote me in the summer of 1978 while I was in West Palm Beach, he told me that he was being called to pastor a church in the Washington, D.C. area. And would I consider becoming the next pastor of Scranton Revival Baptist Church? And when he said that, I took it to heart because it was in my heart. At that time, Scranton Revival was running about 25 people, but the church had a building on Wayne Avenue, and it had gone through some battles in being planted, and the church couldn't yet pay for a pastor. So it wasn't a position where I was offered money. Didn't come because of that. But I came because of the burden of God on my heart for the people and brought my family up here from Florida and from a lot of opportunities in Florida. But it was on my heart to do it. And I want to say that tonight, that in 446 BC, about there in Nehemiah was the chief of staff of the leader of the Persian Empire, the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. He was a cupbearer for the king, and he was in a position of wealth and power in Shushan, which was the capital of the Persian Empire. But, you know, I understand this. When Hanani, his brother, and some Jews from Judah came to visit Nehemiah, they had been to Jerusalem, and they came to visit him, and he asked them about how it was going with the temple that was recently rebuilt. How it was going with the city of Jerusalem. How it was going with the work of God. How it was with the walls of Jerusalem. And these Jewish men said that the great remnant that were there, or the remnant that were there, were in great affliction. Not the great remnant, but the smaller remnant. It was in great affliction and reproach. And they told them the wall of Jerusalem was still broken down and the gates were still burned with the fires from the past judgments of God. That was in Nehemiah 1:1-3. And you know what? Just like I understand that, being in Florida, his heart was burdened for Jerusalem. And he couldn't just enjoy his life in Persia and his vocation, because his heart was burdened for Jerusalem and the people there and the worship there. And when Pastor Ware told me of Scranton and the good things that had happened, yet the church had needs and needed a pastor, I believe I was called to God to return to the work here. And at about 446 BC, Nehemiah got a grant from Artaxerxes, the king. He returned to Jerusalem with money and people to look at the work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. By the way, I didn't have money from the church, but when I came back, I had worked previously at a place called Friendship House, and somehow they had not paid me the money that they owed me while I worked there. They owed me extra compensation based on state law, I guess it was. And so that was my pastoral support, that they paid me back pay from working at Friendship House while I was at college. God always provides if you put him first. And so I came up here to candidate to be a pastor and preach Sunday morning, Sunday evening, answered questions from the deacons. I believe there were three deacons then, answered questions. And I was flown back to West Palm Beach, and the church voted on me, and they voted to call me as their pastor. And I accepted that call, and I returned alone up here in October and assumed the pastorate of the church. And I was staying in Pastor Ware's house at the time, and he was ministering down in Washington, D.C. And so I accepted that call, and that was in October of 1978. November, I went back down, flew down, got my wife and family, got a moving truck, and moved them all up here and into the property, 1125 Providence Road, and started the work. And immediately I started to have weekly soul winning outreach, and we started seeing people trust the Lord, and God was doing a work, and it was exciting. But in the spring of 1986, I went to a week of pastor school, Chicagoland area. Pastor Ware came up from Washington. He joined me there. And at the end of the week, it was all about soul winning. And I went forward to commit to go soul winning. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit's power to do the Great Commission. And I came back to Scranton after that 1986 week. And I'm telling you, I was at a higher level. And the church was led to a higher level of soul winning. And we had no bus ministry, but we began the bus ministry, and guess what? We were running three buses by the end of that decade, from 86 to 96. So the work of God was going forward. And we were really doing a great work called the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that because in Nehemiah chapter 3, when Nehemiah became the governor and he began to say, we're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, God gave him people that each had their part in rebuilding the wall. And so if you read Nehemiah 3, the wall went forward and it was being rebuilt around Jerusalem because everybody did their part. And you know what? It's great to see a church that not just the leadership goes soul winning, but the deacons go soul winning. Their wives go soul winning, and people go soul winning. And that's the kind of work Nehemiah saw on the wall, and that's the kind of work we saw going on here and is still going on today. But anytime you get filled with the Spirit of God to do a great work of God, one of the men tell me, what can you expect immediately to happen when you get filled with the Spirit of God to do a soul-winning work of God? What can happen immediately?
Opposition.
Opposition. Did you hear me, class? Opposition. I wonder if you, how many of you have been opposed for the work you're doing? How many of you have been criticized for the work you're doing? How many of you have suffered for that? Listen, don't get discouraged by that. That's a blessing. That shows that you're in line with Nehemiah, in line with our Lord Jesus Christ when he went to do the greatest work in history and to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He was opposed by the devil and by those that would do the devil's work, even born-again Christians that were not right with God. Anytime you get filled, and that's what happened in Nehemiah chapter 4. It came to pass after chapter 3, they were building the wall. It came to pass in chapter 4, it says, that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth. That means he was very mad. And he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Nehemiah 4:1-2. Do you notice that Sanballat and his friends, they weren't part of the work, actually. Do you know that's who the critics are? The critics are those people that are not in the arena. I mean, it's easy to sit in the bleachers and criticize the people in the arena. But it's much harder in the arena. I remember playing high school football, and I would watch football on TV, and I would criticize sometime the team. But when I was on the field, let me tell you, it was much different. And do you notice that Sanballat was a critic, not involved in the work? And they're like people that rarely, if ever, attend our church services. They're like people that are not really helping to get the gospel out, leading others to get saved and helping them to get baptized, become faithful tithing members of the church, and perhaps they're not even tithing at all. Yet Sanballat and his friends were like these same people that are critical of our soul winning work. And secondly, do you notice that the one that was in opposition along with his friends, that they're asking questions that sow doubt in the minds of the workers so as to make them feel that their work is for nothing? Notice it says, what do these feeble Jews, question mark, will they fortify themselves, question mark, will they sacrifice, question mark, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burnt? In other words, all the negatives, they're emphasizing the negatives, but they're not doing anything to help. Boy, I watched Majeski Construction working, and I found out one thing. It starts right at the top with Bob's dad. He works his you-know-what off. He's out there working. And when he says something, bring me this or bring me that, whether I got a suit and a tie on, I'm going to be out there in the mud trying to do something if I'm there. You just can't help because he's out there doing it. And that's a problem. Nehemiah led from the front. The Israeli army, the generals don't sit back and send people out. They lead from the front. They lead by example. And thank God for deacons that do that, and a youth pastor that does that, and men of God and women of God that do that. Thank God for this church and those people that are doing that. And so you need to realize there'll be people that will ask questions in order to discourage you. The answer to those questions, a simple yes, they'll do it. Yes, they'll do it. Yes, we'll get it done. And I want to say to you tonight, yes, God's with us. Yes, this is a great work we're doing. Yes, we're going to get it done. You're here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you in this great work of soul winning. And my answer to the doubters that go against that is the message tonight in chapter 6 of Nehemiah. And here is the answer of Nehemiah. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah 6:3. That's my text tonight. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? See, when they couldn't stop Nehemiah and they couldn't stop his workers, now the wall was finished, except they needed the doors put up and they needed to hang the gate, so it wasn't totally done. And they thought, we got one more chance to derail them. And how are they going to do it? Now they said, well, we want to counsel with you about the work that you're doing. And the reason for counsel was not to help them in the work. Nothing wrong with getting counsel if it helps you do the work. But just to get counsel, to draw a worker away from the work. You know, the Bible says this, much talk leads to penury. But in all labor there is profit. Again, why is Bajewski Construction profitable? Because anybody that works with Bob Bajewski Sr. and Jr. and that group, they know they work. And it's an example. And it's a rebuke to a lot of preachers that should get out of the ministry and get a real job because they don't know how to work the ministry. I thank God that I've known some men in my life that have provoked me to jealousy to want to work like they were in the ministry. And Brother Bob said something, and I Bob Bajewski Jr., he said something. He said, as I watched these guys working, he said, "We're addicted to this work. We're addicted to it." And that's a good thing to see. And we need to be addicted to the ministry, amen? And addicted to the work of God. And these people, they enjoy their work. They enjoy their work. And so don't come down from doing God's work. And I want to give you three things real quick. Number one, and I'm going to go through this quickly, by realizing that you are involved in a great work. Notice Nehemiah said, "I'm doing a what? Great work." Do you believe that we're serving a great God? Do you believe that what we're doing in this church is great? It's not a little church that is insignificant. This is not a little church that's unimportant, my friend. This is a great work. It's so great I've given my life to it. I've left Florida for it. I've left South Florida Aluminum for it. I've come here because it's a great work. I didn't get any pay at all when I came up here. I didn't do it for that. You say, "Why'd you do it?" I've got a great Savior. I've got a great God. I've got a great commission. And it's a great work. And that's why I did. I didn't come up here to just be a lazy preacher. And Peter was under the influence of Satan, and he tried to discourage Nehemiah from this great work. And he was a believer, but he was a carnal believer, and Jesus rebuked him for it, said, "Satan is influencing you. Get thee behind me, Satan." And Sanballat was trying to mock and minimize the work of God there. And the Bible says this in chapter 4. It says, "And Judas said, 'The strength of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.'" You notice that? There's much rubbish, so that we are not, and we don't have the strength to build. Do you know what people do that try to discourage you from the work of soul winning and the great commission of Jesus Christ? They try to talk to you about all the rubbish, all the dropouts, all the people that didn't make it.
Right.
Why? Because they're dropouts, and they want you to be a dropout, and so that's what they focus on. I want you to know, Jesus Christ didn't focus on the dropouts. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he did the work, he finished the work. What was the joy set before him? Those of you that are saved, those of you that are born again, those of you that are serving God. He knew that his death would not be in vain. You know the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, he said that our labor... Notice labor, that means work hard. Not just play games, work hard. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what? That is so true. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is a great work. But if you focus on the dropouts, and you focus on all the people that didn't make it, you're going to drop out. You're going to give up. No, we don't focus on that. We focus on those that will make it. And the Bible said, "I have many of those in this city." He's got many more of those in this city. Keep going and work and labor for that, you see. And labor for the Master. Because did Jesus work for us? He worked. He sweat great drops of blood. He worked for us. And so the mockers will also mock you. And they'll do like Sanballat did. And they'll make light of the work that you're involved in. You say, "Well, why is this a great work?" Well, Number one, because we're building lives on solid foundations. You know, when I thought about bringing my mom here, I got stirred up about the fact that our house, what's the foundation of my house up there in Clark Summit? And you know what? I started thinking about if I built something down there, my mom goes down there, what's going to happen? It could be moldy. It could be critters coming in there. It could be filled with water. I mean, it looks good up top. But what about down below? And I mentioned it to Brother Bob, and he said, oh, yeah, we know how to stop that. I thought, oh, really? I prayed. I said, oh, God. And then they came up there, and they got down below the foundation, and they found water that had been running in there, not for years, but for decades, and going right through a hole, right into that basement, and in more places than one. And they went to work on the foundation, and then on the pipes underneath that was supposed to run the water off, none of them were working. And they got those straightened out. And you know what? I thought about that, and I thought about, what is the theme of our church? Now listen to me, it's building lives on solid foundations. And if you don't have a good foundation, no matter what you build up top, it's not going to work. Eventually it's going to come down.
Right.
Not to discourage you, but it'll come down. You got to build it. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that Majeski Construction to me is a great illustration of building lives on solid foundation. And he took a video of the water is flowing out and it's working. It's not going down into the basement. It's going down where it's supposed to go. You know what? And God had to do that with this church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I got to share with Steve today, Brother Bob, one of his workers. I wish I could have finished it. I got right to the end, but I got to share with him because he didn't have that second question right. He didn't have a foundation for his salvation. He's going to a big church up there on Route 6. Brother Andy, he's going to a big church up there, but he didn't have the foundation. And I told him nothing else will work except for Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life and therefore could die for our sins and rise again. And you have to have faith in him or you're not going to get in the pearly gates, Steve. Pray for him. Other foundation can no man lay than that was. Thank God for a great work that gets to the foundation and that we have a foundation. We have a great Savior. Therefore, we're doing a great work. Just like the Majeski, they're not a shoddy business. They're building foundations and therefore they're doing a great work. So are we doing a great work spiritually? And so we ought to work at it because it makes a difference. Just like when you have a good foundation in your home, it's going to make a difference, amen, going forward. You don't have a good foundation for your life. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care anything. If you don't have the right foundation, you're going to die and go to hell. Right. Jesus Christ is the only foundation that will last at the coming of the Lord and when you die. And so, you know, thank God we're doing a great work because we got a great foundation in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And secondly, we got a great foundation in an every word Bible. Do you know what? That Jesus is the living Word of God, but this Bible is the written Word of God. And there was a time I used the modern English translations. And I don't care what modern English translation you use. If it's not the King James Bible, the authorized King James Bible, it is not an every word Bible. And my daughter Mindy knows that because we were in a discussion with a believer. And they were trying to use a wrong translation and the words matter. I remember talking over a family member about creation and evolution, and we were discussing it, and they had a modern translation, and it was different, and every word mattered in that discussion. It made all the difference in the world. You think Satan doesn't know that? You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the one and only Bible for the English-speaking people. And that is the King James Bible.
Amen.
I'm not saying people are not saved that don't use it. I'm just saying that they're not fully right with God. Unless you're right with His book. Amen. And so I'm just saying, hey, I lived in a house without a good foundation for a long time. And we're getting it fixed. And we were in this church for a while, and I had the wrong Bible. And you say, what did God do to you, Pastor? He spanked the tar out of me. And when He did, my friend, I repented. And I came back to the Bible. I'm saying that's why we're doing a great work. And so thank God that He's saving people forever. And it says that we're to build on those foundations of Jesus Christ and the Bible. We're to build with what? Gold, silver, and precious stone. You know what that is? The kind of people. Saved people and people that are being given the right teaching. They become gold. If you're not doing that, then it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And that will burn someday. It won't last. And so we're doing a great work. Don't come down. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Number two, not only by realizing you're involved in a great work, don't come down from God's work by realizing that mockers and distractors are there to bring you down. Notice Nehemiah said, why should the work cease while I come down to you? Come down to you. You see, you can lift up a person by getting them to trust Jesus Christ. Amen? Giving them the gospel. You can lift them up. You could do it as a teenager. You could do it as an adult. You can lift people up. But if somebody already knows the teaching and knows the gospel, they can bring you down. Do you know how they can bring you down? By mocking the work you're doing, by discouraging the work that you're doing, and getting you to leave that work to go down to them. I learned a long time ago, I'm not going to go down to people that are not doing the great work that I'm doing. They're not going to distract me away from the work of God. And He knows, listen to me, if you listen to those people, they will discourage you. I remember as a young man, I would give the gospel to a man and he kept mocking it and he pulled me away and distracted me from those that wanted it. By the way, when we go out soul winning, somebody wants to distract you and pull you away, just move on.
Right.
Don't cast your pearls before swine, Jesus said. Move on and give it to somebody who's ready to receive it. And so I'm saying don't come down by realizing that you're involved in a great work. Don't come down by realizing that mockers, listen to me, and distractors are there to bring you down to their level. Why do you hang around with them? Why do you listen to them? You could be polite, you could be kind, but avoid getting pulled down and spending your time there. Spend your time with the workers on the wall. Number three and last, don't come down from God's great work by remaining on the wall. Look what Nehemiah said. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? You know what? Dr. Hiles talked about fundamentalism, and I've shared this many times. You've heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times. But he shared fundamentalism when we took a trip to Texas with him. All these preachers that won the contest were sitting around at a Holiday Inn in Dallas, Texas. And he said, you know, one preacher said, what's the great enemy of fundamentalism? Brother Hiles said, well, you got to decide what fundamentalism is first. He said, fundamentalism is just getting back to the fundamentals of the Word of God, the truth of God. Fundamentalism means what is the enemy or the greatest enemy of truth? You know what he said? It's friends and family that have come down from the standards of God's word. Don't let that distract you. You can't help anybody if you come down. You can't help anybody if, you know, people think if I come down, I'll help people up. No, you stay up. And you can help them up. You don't help them by coming down, my friend. You don't do that. You could be around them, but uphold the standard. Do not dip your sails when it comes to the biblical standards because of anybody. And some step down because of friends and family. I'm not coming down to the standards to build with wood, hay, and stubble. You say, why aren't you going to build with wood, hay, and stubble? Because I was doing that years ago, and God chastened me and showed me, if I don't chasten you now, you're going to get it at the judgment seat of Christ. Because you know what you're going to get? You're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. And you won't go to hell. Listen to me. You won't go to hell, but you get burned for having the wrong Bible. By the way, you know why America is getting burned with these guys that walk into women's bathrooms? Boy, I tell you, I was walking in the mall today, and I walked right into the woman's bathroom. Didn't even realize it. And I said, oh, I feel like a woman today. And the girl said, really? No, I didn't do that. I walked in, I saw a woman. I was like, ah! I said, I'm in the wrong bathroom! And I beat it out of there. Quickly! Quickly! I was shocked! And she was like, no problem. But I'm just telling you, you know why we're getting burned in the United States with these LGBTQIAST plus? You know why? Because the fundamentalist became the neo-fundamentalists and the neo-evangelifishes, and they left the standards of dress. And I've said it before, the queer crowd, and they call themselves the queer crowd. I'm not calling them. They're calling themselves. They said, we are, Bobby told me, he said, we are here, we are queer, and we're coming for your children. That's what Bob Majeski told me. I believe him. He saw it. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. You know why? Because those queer crowd people, if they're trying to be a woman when they're really a man, they dress more like a woman than many women do in churches. And they dress, many of them, more modestly in some cases, not always. Not always that, but some cases. I've seen it. And you ought to be ashamed.
Yes.
I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down because we're doing a great work when it comes to standards. And there are some people that want us to come down from confrontational soul winning. Oh, they say, I went into a bank one time, I led a lady to the Lord. She professed faith in Christ. Some other lady was there, used to be a member of our church. She said, oh, I'm not for that whirlwind evangelism. And I thought, wow. You know what? I remember when your husband was in our church, and it was a deacon in our church. And I talked to about Nehemiah, and I said that the people that were the leaders in the community, they wouldn't put their necks to the work. And I remember preaching on that, and it's like throwing a stone in a hen house. How many of you know what happens if you throw a stone in a hen house? You go, and that stone hit those deacons because they had leadership and they had an office, but they were not doing the work of confrontational soul winning. Her husband was one of them. And I thought, some things just don't change. And I thought, you call that whirlwind evangelism. You know what I call it? Having my sails up and catching the wind that started blowing at Pentecost. There was a mighty rushing wind. Amen? And you know what that was? The Holy Ghost. And you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you a soul winner. That's going to make you a great commissioned Christian and not a piddling commission. And you're going to go out and do confrontational soul winning. You say, how do you know that? Because I read the book of Acts. Get you a Bible and read it. These folks, you know, they read all these books by other people that are reading somebody else. They're like the scribes and the Pharisees. They need to get a Bible. Yeah. Don't come down from soul winning. Yeah. Don't come down from God's standards. Don't do it. Don't come down and realize it and then remain on the work and on the wall of the work and realize that mockers and distractors are there to bring you down and realize, listen to me, you're involved in a great work. Praise the Lord. Don't come down. We're doing a great work. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed.